Hey man, there's some dudes out there. They think they so smart they can figure my guy that all the way. Nah, he's too complex for all that. He's inexhaustible. He's too great for our minds to fully imagine. Yeah, look. Hey, you crazy if you think you done grabbed. The eternal ruler who is first in his last. Reigns in the present and he reigns in the past. Who was perfect and has nothing learned in the class. See a lot of dudes, I don't think they get it. Got a picture in the brain, but the king ain't fit it. Yeah, we got a little box, but the king ain't in it. You ain't too complex, don't get this thing twisted. I can learn about who's on the
throne. Father God, Lord, just again, Father. Thank you, Lord, this day. Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for the breath of life. Father, thank you, Lord God, just for another chance, Lord, another day, another moment, Lord, just to walk with you, Father, to look to you, Lord God, for direction, Lord, for provision, for protection, Lord, for everything, Father, that you intend for your people at this time, in this place, Lord God, all over the world. Father, we are just so grateful, Father, to be called by your name, Lord, to have an answer, Father, in the midst of a world full of confusion, Lord. And Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we just commit this time into your hands and into your care. We pray, Father, that every word that goes forward would be the words of your Spirit, Lord God. I acknowledge openly, Father, there's nothing good in me but your Spirit, and to your Spirit I yield. And Father, we just pray, Lord God, that this day, every care and every concern would just be laid at your feet, and we would just receive, Lord God, from you what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You know, sometimes when people read, I mean, how many times when we read, just a small little side note, how many times when you read one chapter, you stop, you go away, you come back, and you pick up at the next chapter the next time, right? Right? Okay. Now, just something to note, when the scriptures were written, they weren't written with chapters. The whole chapter system was brought in later to help people to be able to find certain passages of scripture, but there were not chapters when the Bible was written. So when the book of Acts was written, there were no chapter 1, chapter 2 like that. Now thank God that God quickened somebody to put the chapters there, because it's made it very much more effective for us to be able to reference and to be able to study something. So it's made it more effective for us. So if we want to say, okay, Acts chapter 5, you can quickly, everyone can go there. If I said Acts somewhere, you know, maybe 50 lines down, you'd never be able to find it. We'd all be looking for the next hour. Okay, now that to say, when they decided on places to put chapters, they had to make a certain decision. Okay, this is a reasonable spot to make a division for then the next place, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that that was the beginning spot of the next spot. See, there's a lot of places where the thinking gets broken, and because people start verse 1, you should maybe sometimes go up to verse 47 of the chapter before and then read through, because you pick something up.
Tamara kulada ekata ekata tanaka deena eka ilanga 47 pada ekata samaana wenna puluwan ilanga
So just a little something for you. When you study, when you read the letters and the epistles, try to read them at one time. Sit down and read the whole thing. See what it feels like. It's different. Okay, that to say, now I'll show you a small example of this. Let's go Acts chapter 4. And let's start at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses and sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Then Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But, keep going, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land, while it remained with, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own, in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thine husband are at the door, they shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and carried her dead. And carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the churches and upon as many as heard these things. Okay.
So true.
Yeah.
ఎవిట పేజ్లో చేయట ఉత్తరు దేవి నిమలా వినే ఇక్కే మేము మెకమనటాయి మటకియానే కీ వే సే మెకమనటాయి ఏ కీ వాయ ఎవిట పేజ్లో చేయట కథా కూడా స్వామి నిమలకి ఆత్మీయన పరీక్షల కరాంటి నిమలా ఎటుక వెంట జదునే కొహమద అన్న నుండే పురుష వెలుగు వారికి కాదు దొరడంగా ఓహు నిమద పిగతట గినయాన్ నోయాయి ఏడు కీ వే ఒకనైమ ఏ ఊగే పాముల వెటి మలాయ కరుణయ ఎటువి మెరి దేవ ఏ పిడిసట గెలుగోస్ అగే పురుషయా లంగ వెలుగు పోయ
Okay. Does this read any differently now to you when you take in something from a little bit before? Okay. All right. How many of you have heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira before? Yes. Yes, we've probably all heard this thing where somebody's tried to scare you and God strikes these people dead. Yes, so you should tithe or otherwise God will strike. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. No. Kidding. No, it's a story of... I'm just playing with you. It's a story where you get a chance to see... There's an indication of... There's a lot going on here. Okay, first of all, let me set the context. This is during a powerful move of God of the early church. Now Pentecost has happened, and now all of a sudden there are thousands and thousands of people whose eyes and hearts are being opened to the truth of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. And many of these, they'd come to Jerusalem. They didn't live in Jerusalem. They had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Then there's this move of God, and they're all there longer they were anticipating. So now in the middle of this, because those that are walking with the Lord and they're so caught up in what God is doing, that they just say, hey, you know, whoever's got need, if I have something to give, I'm willing to give it and to share it with those that have need. Sure, here, I got this because I found what's really important, and they're sharing one with another what they have. Now, it's not a mandate for communism, it's a mandate for generosity. I've heard people say all kinds of strange things. No, it's just when the Spirit of God enters somebody's life and their heart, that it's just, you know what's really of value, and you're not caught up on material things now. It doesn't mean that you're foolish. It doesn't mean that you're a bad steward over the resources God's put in your care. But you have a different approach to them than the way the world is. Okay, so now they're in the middle of this thing, and there are real needs that they have among the people, and God has a way always of providing for the needs of His people.
Okay.
Now, I want you to also grab this, that God is creative in how He meets the needs of His people. God is very creative, and you have to be willing to go with God's creativity if you're going to be part of what God is doing. For example, Jesus with the feeding of the 5,000, just 5,000 men, also women were there, also children, all that, but a lot of people Jesus feeds, 5,000. In that situation, what does he do? He takes what's there, multiplies it, and stretches something amazingly, amazing miracle that God does. Another time, Jesus, just for the sake of just doing diligence in the situation, decides to pay the temple tax. What does he tell Peter to do? You remember? What does he tell him to do? You remember? Says, yes, Sandra. He says, go take your line, go out, go catch a fish. The first fish that you catch, mouth arala, open the mouth, look inside, there'll be a coin there, that's what you need. Go use that coin to go pay the tax. How did God put that one together? How did a fish get a coin stuck in its mouth and then go and bite Peter's line? Do you think about this one? Now, did that mean, Peter, go grab your fishing net, go catch 500 fish, open each mouth, and inside each one will have a coin? No. That place, that time, that circumstance, that individual situation, God says, this is what I'm going to do with this. Next time, different place, different situation, different people, different conditions of their heart, this is what I'm going to do with that. Next place, something different. Each place, something different. For the people trying to figure out Jesus, it must have been very, very maddening. Because they keep saying, how is he doing this? What's his method? What's the way? What's the book, brother? What's the 12 steps? What's the book? What's the 12 steps to... I can see the title right now, 12 Steps to the Provision of God. New York Times bestseller. Everyone will want that one. No, it's not a book, and I'm not writing it. You already have your book. You have what you need here. Okay. But now, you notice something about God, that God, what He wants for people to do is to come into a place of dependency on Him, trust in Him, obedience to Him as you move forward with Him. So now this situation, Acts chapter 4 or 5, in this situation here, again the church has need at that time. Now does God take the lunch and multiply it for the 5,000 this time? No. Not that time. He doesn't. Does that mean that faith is not working there, or that God is not, He doesn't do what He did before? We saw now He's not doing this. No, God is now using the situation, using this context to work something out in His people. In this situation, in verse 34, it says, "For as many as were possessors of land or houses, sold them." And brought the price of these things that were sold. Okay, yeah. So in this situation, what God was doing was He was allowing for the situation to be a means to work on the hearts of His people to get them to a stronger place. See, He uses the context of the situation. The needs of His people are easy. You need to understand this. God can meet the needs of His people very easily. That's not hard for Him. The difficult part is us. We're the difficult part. Because it's us with our free will, our decisions, our intentions, that's the thing that God's working on with us. But He loves us enough to put us in the situations where that can be worked on and where we can come through. But water from a rock, manna from the sky, birds bringing food, this is easy for Him. The God of this universe made a promise to His people in Matthew chapter 6 that is more solid than any bank guarantee ever. Basically, seek first the kingdom and God will take care of the needs. That's Jesus' words Himself saying to His people. Now, He didn't tell you how He would take care of the needs, but just that He would take care of those needs. Okay. Now, in the middle of this situation, God is also allowing for hearts and minds and motives and intentions to be brought to the surface.
Elliot Matukarla Vena, the Venus Ravashi Velani.
Now, something that's important to understand is that there are people that do the exact same thing, but for different motives and different reasons. So you can have two people that do the exact same thing. One does it because they're being directed by the Spirit of God. The next person does it because they want to be seen as something in the eyes of men. They're doing it because they have guilt, whatever. They're doing it for another reason. Now this is why it is critical that the people of God do not look at external appearances and how things look on the surface. Absolutely critical. Important. It's important. If all you need is someone to wear a cross, wear a special collar, have a degree on the wall, if that's all you need for you to believe that someone is a legitimate servant of God or somebody, if that's enough, I guarantee you'll be deceived. If what it is that people do on the surface is enough for you, then you will be deceived. God looks deeper. God looks at the heart and the intentions and the motivation behind people. That's where He digs to. He digs deep with everyone that comes to Him. See, that's why the Pharisees had such a hard time with Jesus. Because he, when they would approach him with their robes and with their collars and with all of their dress and all of the backing of all of the institution that they were part of, he would cut straight past that surface and say, look, you're like a whitewashed sepulcher. You're inside, you're full of dead men's bones. You're full of rot and decay past the spiritual facade you put on the outside. And though an entire nation of people might give you legitimacy because of your position, that's not good enough for me. And he said, if you want to do this right, clean the inside of the cup. And he said, the people that are entering the kingdom are the prostitutes and the tax collectors. Those that are on the outside are such a mess, but within they want God and their heart is for Him, and as they approach Him, they're finding Him. Now you can also have somebody that looks spiritual externally and is spiritually inside fine. You can have somebody like that, sure. And you can have somebody that externally is really bad and internally is really bad too. But what's important is the heart. And an extension of that, what is your intention, your volition, your inclination towards, what is it? What is your inclination towards? Where's the direction? Okay, now back to Acts 4 and 5. In this situation here, what's going on is there is a way that things are taking place to take care of the early church. And now, what is happening, there's a way that God is working within the people, and then there's also a way that things appear on the outside, on the external. So we talked a little bit about the internal work that God was doing with His people then. Externally, the people that were doing this, they were encouraging many people. The external, like in the, on the outside, as people saw these people doing this, it was a big encouragement to the early church. Even the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. So these people that were doing this act of service to the early church, they were seen in a particular light. Now here is Ananias and here is Sapphira, and they see this going on. And for them, because now in their heart, they say, I would like to be seen in the same external light as Barnabas is. I would like people to look at me the same way they look at Barnabas. I would like people to pat me on the back, say thank you the same way to me that they do to Barnabas. And Satan uses the desire that people have for something external in the world to get a hook into them. See, when you want something in this world, in what you believe the world is, when you want something from that, that's enough for Satan to get some part of you, hooking you. And so while the action seemed like something good, the motivation of the heart was deception. And we know also from Scripture that Satan is the one that comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Now how does that make sense here? Here is some people showing up, putting money at the apostles' feet, and yet that money in and of itself, the seeds of robbery, killing, and destruction, rob, steal, kill, and destroy, are in that money at the apostles' feet.
කල්ලි පිටිපස්සේ මොකක්ද තියෙන්නේ? මැරීමක් නැත්නම් විනාශයක් සොරකම් කිරීමක්. මේ සොරකම් කරනවාද මොකක්ද සිද්ධිය? මේ කල්ලි පිටිපස්සේ දින අපොස්තුලන්ට.
Now how does that work?
ඒක කොහොමද වැඩ කරන්නේ? ක්‍රියාත්මක වෙන්නේ. ඒ විදිහට වෙන්නේ කොහොමද?
Do you know that money is not neutral? That money is not a neutral thing. No, it's money is. There is an energy behind money. Have you ever heard the word blood money? Blood money. Yes. You've heard that, yes? That there's that may be cash on the table, but that there's blood on that money. You remember when Jesus was betrayed by Judas and he went to take those 30 pieces of silver and to give them back to the Pharisees? Even those guys in that situation, having set up the crucifixion of Jesus, even they wouldn't take that money back. They wouldn't take that money in the temple treasury. Why did they say, they said why too? Because, yes, it's the price of blood. They said, this is blood money. We know because we paid it. So they said, okay, we can use for buying a field over here somewhere to bury foreigners, but we know that this is contaminated now. Can you imagine the insanity and the contradiction of the very guys that paid the money for the blood, that they know the corruption there, that they themselves don't even want back what they've sown? But there is an energy behind everything that people do. See, now, what is... Okay. Little thing on money. When people do something, their energy and their effort, they receive... money is just a transaction. It's just a way, it's a representation for what you've done. And there's a lot of people around the world with a lot of money that all of it is contaminated. And it will not end well for them. It will not end well for them in this life, let alone the next. Mark my words, it will not end well for them. But now, you the people of God, you're in a good place with Jesus. Okay, because one, God takes care of us. We know that. Okay, but in this situation now, because Ananias and Sapphira are looking for something external, Satan gets a hook in them. And what Satan tries to do is he tries to sow into the early church at this stage some sort of seed of deception that will later grow and be a point of destruction.
Make it.
Now, this is also why it is important that everything that comes your way is not the will and the provision of God. You need to know when to say no. You need to understand when the strings that are attached to something are straight from the pits of hell. Now Peter exposes this. And I am so glad that he did, because you look at what happened with Barnabas in the days to come. God uses Barnabas to travel with Paul throughout the known world at the time as a messenger of the gospel. And God uses Barnabas to salvage John Mark when Paul was so mad at him that he didn't want to ever do missions with him again. He uses him to keep him from being thrown away, to keep Mark from being thrown away. And he's also the very one that makes the introduction for Paul to the apostles, where the apostles wouldn't have had anything to do with him yet because they still didn't believe that he was real. Now, can you imagine if it was Ananias instead of Barnabas? Can you imagine the danger to the entire body of Christ at that time if Ananias had snuck in there, and his motives and his heart and his intentions and what they were, as they would have grown and filled an organization or a group of people wherever he was? Can you imagine the deception and the destruction to so many lives if buying his way in was sufficient for the early church at that time? I'll tell you this much, there's many, many Ananiases all over the world right now. And many of them in leadership positions in quote-unquote churches, destroying the lives of many people all over the world right now. And because of a little bit of money at a time of need, or some need being met, that was sufficient for inroads into a person, because somebody was not looking to God for direction, but they were looking to man and the immediate circumstance. Okay, let's break this down to an individual level. God looks at the heart. So, whatever you do, whatever I do, God looks at the core of your being, and He knows moment by moment why you do what you do. See, you're not fooling Him. You know that you're not fooling God with anything that you do, anything that you say. He knows exactly why you've done everything you've done.
Okay. වහන්සේ දන්නවා හැමදේම ඔබ කරේයි ඒක මොකද්ද කරපු දේ පව දෙවියන් වහන්සේ දන්නවා
In Matthew 7 here let's flip there 21
Matthew 7:21
We know this passage 7:21-23 Okay, it says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
ඒ දවසේදී බොහෝ දෙනෙක් ස්වාමිනී ස්වාමිනී ඔබගේ නාමයෙන් අනාගත වචන නොකීමේද ඔබගේ නාමයෙන් යක්ෂයන් දුරු නොකළමුද ඔබගේ නාමයෙන් නොයෙක් බලවත් ක්‍රියා නොකළමුදයි මට කියනවාට එවිට මම කිසි කලකට උඹ නොහැඳින්නේ නෙමෙයි අදන්විෂකම් කරන්නේ මා කෙරෙහි නාහක යන්නයි ඕන්ට කියන්නේ
Okay, in the passage where of Ananias and Sapphira, we see that they weren't listening to the voice of God, but they were listening to the voice of the devil. It says that Satan had filled their hearts. And here, in this passage here, there's people in Matthew chapter 7 that come up to Jesus and the day when everything's closed out, all of it's done, and they're like, okay, Lord, we did all this stuff in your name. We prophesied.
Mama, another
Your big show. We had a big meeting, big crusade, and we prophesied. And we cast out devils. Cast out devils. You know that the devil will move the furniture around the room if that's enough to deceive you? I say that both figuratively and literally. If what it takes for you to be deceived is for you to believe, okay, this one cast out a devil, one devil will make a deal with another devil, okay, I will go, I'll go for a while, then they'll believe you and then I'll come back later. I'm serious, you're laughing. I'm serious. The devils will talk to each other. They will talk to each other. And they'll get a big meeting together and everyone will make a big noise and everything. And then the devil will say, okay, ready? One, two, three. Okay, I go. And then what happens? If man looks at the outward appearance, they are deceived by what? Lying signs and wonders. And also here, and in thy name done many wondrous works. So in the sign of the cross, they have built this monastery and this school and all of these things they've done using, now I want to say this different. Not, they didn't do it in Jesus' name, they did it using Jesus' name because that was a name enough for them to get some money.
He didn't name it.
small side note. When you and I pray in Jesus' name, you are praying in a spiritual position where you are in Christ Jesus, spiritually found inside of Him. So when you pray in Jesus' name, that's because you are praying because you are spiritually inside of Jesus. You're found in Him. There are many, many, many people that are outside of Jesus that use His name. They're not praying in Jesus' name, they're using Jesus' name. It's different. Okay. And verse 23, it says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Okay, so Ananias and Sapphira, once they get kicked out there, and then they get kicked out again. They get kicked out here, they get kicked out there. Now God sees and knows the intention of your heart. And this is why what happens is that God calls for people to come to a place in Him where they genuinely bow their knee before Him and repent. It's like Isaiah 6. When you have a revelation of who God is, you drop before your face, on the floor before Him, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I am a man of unclean lips. God, please cleanse me, forgive me, because I've got no words." He said, I'm undone. You're undone. Everything that you thought and that you postured and the way you tried to be perceived by people, all that is done away with because God cuts straight to the core of who you are and you reveal who, you see a little bit of who He is in relationship to who you are apart from Him. And now what God does is that He takes the hearts that are given over to Him, that allow for the work of the Spirit of God, those are the ones that He uses. And those are the ones that He uses in participation together. As friends, they go through life together doing the work of the Father. Now God will use Pharaoh as well, but He will use Pharaoh in spite of himself. Pharaoh will be used by God as something that God will make an example of, but God will accomplish His purposes. Let's go back to one more scripture. First Samuel chapter 16. First First Samuel chapter 16, and let's start at verse 6. Now this is when Saul was sent to anoint David, right? And it says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as men seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. There it is, one more time, all over again. And even in this situation, Samuel, the prophet of God, in his external mind, says, oh, this guy looks like the part. But as he checks with God, God says, nope, don't be deceived by what you see with your natural mind. I've rejected him because he doesn't have the heart of a David. You know, in this situation, they didn't even think David was important enough to call him. You realize that? Samuel has said, alright, I want to see your sons. And he brought all the sons except for David. And each one passed by, and God's like, nope, 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 nope. Each one. Even in one situation here, it's funny, I don't know if this will translate. In verse 8, it says, and Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and the Lord said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. This, he calls him a this, he doesn't even call him a person, he just says, God hasn't even chosen this. God is funny. So God basically just says no to everybody that goes by. He says that for the next two guys, he calls them a this. Anyways, as it gets to the point, and he says, is this all the sons that you have? Because something's not right here. We're missing something. And then it's like, well, okay, there's one more. But in the minds of man, what man sees is very different than what God sees. And God can take a heart that loves Him, that worships Him, that's given over to Him, and He can make out of that whatever He desires. And he takes a shepherd boy worshiping him out in the fields with a few sheep, and that is what he decides to make a king out of.
You think
different, isn't it? So realize, but the thing that David had that was different from him than the rest of his brothers is David, in his heart of hearts, he wanted God. He loved God. He wanted to know Him and to be in relationship with Him. When you read the Psalms, you get a revelation of David's heart. And you see even there, David's like, look, I would much rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to have the highest prominent position in with evil and wicked men. I don't want to be there. I would rather be just on the outskirts, at least just get at something close to You than anywhere else. And God saw that in a shepherd boy in the field, and He said, I like this guy. I like this guy. Of all these big, strong guys running around with all their height and all their stature, and I like this guy over here. I can do something with this guy. So, anyways, just realize that God sees your heart, God sees your intention. So allow the Spirit of God to reveal that to you, and if it needs to be, if there's a correction that needs to take place, allow God to do that, ask Him for it. And then go with it as He goes forward with you. Just enjoy the journey. Okay, my time is up, so I will stop there for today.